This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. It's been estimated that 1 out of 10 Americans suffer from major depression, and 20% of us will be afflicted at some point in our lives. It is the most commonly treated mental illness. The Dean of Social and Behavioral Sciences at Rutgers University, Alan Horwitz, says it is overdiagnosed. Alan Horwitz is the co-author with Jerome Wakefield of The Loss of Sadness, How Psychiatry Transformed Normal Sorrow into Depressive Disorder. Professor Horwitz is our guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. In the book, the two authors say that life deals blows to us all, and we're going to feel sad, sometimes immensely so. But that is not a mental disorder. It's life. We get sick. We mourn the deaths of those we love. Romances and marriages fall apart. We reel at the news that we're out of a job. What would it mean, though, if we were to rethink what is depression and what is sadness? That's one of the questions we'll take up this afternoon. Listeners, I invite you to join the discussion with your questions and comments. You can join us with a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number. That number, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Our guest, Alan Horwitz, is professor of sociology and dean of social and behavioral sciences at Rutgers. He is the author of many articles and a number of books on various aspects of mental illness, including the social control of mental illness and creating mental illness. The book he co-authored with Jerome Wakefield, a professor of social work at New York University, The Loss of Sadness, is published by Oxford University Press. Again, the phone numbers, if you'd like to talk with us, 333-9455, that's 333-WILL, and toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Professor Horwitz, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, well, thank you for asking me.
My pleasure to have you on the show today. In the second chapter of your book, you write about the anatomy of sadness. And one of the things you say here is that it is a designed aspect of human nature. What would you like to say about the importance of sadness in human society?
Yeah, well, I think that when you look at just, you know, how long different literary works have referred to sadness in just the, you know, the earliest literature, that when you examine the earliest medical writings of, say, Hippocrates in the 5th century before Christ, where he makes it very, very clear that normal sadness is quite a different thing from depressive disorder, and he talks about both normal sadness and depressive disorder. Even beyond how ancient references to sadness are, I think when you look at just a vast number of studies of our evolutionary ancestors in the different, you know, non-human primates, who just clearly become sad in the same kinds of circumstances that humans do, that it seems pretty apparent that there must be some evolutionary reason why when humans suffer losses, that they just naturally develop emotions of sadness.
Yeah, it is sort of, in a way, I guess it serves as a sort of a glue. It holds us together, and we're social beings.
Yeah, I think while people dispute exactly what reasons there would be, that I think a number of plausible reasons have been proposed. And one is indeed what you just said, that when people become sad, they show it on their faces. It's pretty apparent to others that they're in need of help, and that so sadness can function as this kind of cry for help from others who normally will respond, you know, with sympathy and with support. And I think that when people are depressed, that you find it quite a different response to depressed people. You sort of snap out of it, you know. You know, there's no reason behind, you know, why you should feel the way you do. And that depressed people, in contrast to people with normal sadness, generally elicit a pretty negative response from others.
What might we lose, then, as if the title of your book suggests, sadness is lost or diminished.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, that it is just a natural part of life, that it keeps us tied into relationships. Say when we lose a loved one and we grieve, you know, for them, that you know, there are certain positive aspects. But I think I would want to be clear that we're not saying there's anything good about being sad.
Right.
That it's just that it's natural to be sad. So that we're not necessarily, while we do think people are too quick to take antidepressant medications, that we're not opposed to that. And we think, you know, in many circumstances they can help. But that, in one sense, that suffering really is a part of life. And it's not a good part. It's not a pleasant part. But nevertheless, it is something that's just sort of part of being human.
Yeah. Well, the pain and suffering caused by life's calamities are very real. So how do we alleviate sadness when it is debilitating?
Well, I think the key word you just said is debilitating. And indeed, when people, even if it is, you know, that they've lost their job, they've lost an important relationship, that if the resulting sadness is debilitating, that it probably is a good idea to get you know, professional help. So that even, you know, in cases of very serious, even normal sadness, that we're not certainly saying people shouldn't get help for that. And that whenever it's debilitating, then it's probably a good idea to see a professional.
Yeah. What did Hippocrates have to say about depressive disorder?
Well, first of all, he described it in terms that are remarkably similar to the way the current Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, the DSM, describes it, and really the symptoms that he enumerates, sadness, appetite problems, sleep problems, are very, very close to what the DSM says. But in one way, I think Hippocrates almost has a better conception of depressive disorder than the DSM does now, because he clearly distinguished what he called groundless sadness, or sadness without cause, which he considers to be a mental disorder. And so that it's the notion that what distinguishes normal sadness from depressive disorder, or what Hippocrates would have called melancholia, is this notion that people who are depressed or who are sad with no good reason to be probably have some sort of disorder, but that many people with the same symptoms that have developed out of, you know, economic misfortune, or, you know, they've lost their possessions, they've lost a loved one, that these people really don't have a disorder. And I think that it's that distinction that's the most important thing that I would take away from Hippocrates.
Mm. So the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, doesn't include those words without cause?
No, what it does do is it lists 9 different symptoms. You have to have either a sad mood or an inability to experience pleasure from life, and a total of 5 of 9 that have, you know, appetite disturbance, sleep disturbance, and inability to concentrate, fatigue, and so on, so that if you have 5 of those symptoms, you'll get a diagnosis. There is, however, one major exception, and that is for bereavement. That is, if people have had a close one, an intimate die, that if their symptoms haven't gone on for longer than 2 months, if they're not especially severe, then those people really are, in Hippocrates' terms, with cause. That is, they have a good reason to be depressed, and therefore they're not given the diagnosis, even if they have the symptoms. And I think what we wonder is, well, why only bereavement? What's so special about bereavement? Why shouldn't the same kind